Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, baseball is not boring, and today we have proof of that once again, thanks to Rich Hill, Player Only, the Player Only podcast. Because I don't know if people don't know this, I did not play Major League Baseball. My pop time is insanely good right now. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really, really good. I told David Ross that just the other day. But we have Kevin Plawecki, Rich Hill. We're going to get to the brass tacks of baseball. We're going to find out the root of baseball from the perspective of two guys who actually know a lot more about it than I do. So the first thing we want to kick off with is the heart and soul of baseball, which is youth baseball, of growing up and falling in love with baseball. I'm going to give you my take, and I'll let you guys take over from there. And Rich, as the Players Only podcast, I'll let you drive the ship. But one thing that I want to get out there and see if you guys agree is that the pressure of parents for their kids to keep up is more than ever before. And I think in my perspective of it is because of your word about your neighbor's YouTube channel, your word about your neighbor's Instagram account. Did you see what little five-year-old Johnny did hitting the wiffle ball over the yard? You know, that sort of thing. So I'll just start there. If you guys agree with that, Kevin, you have a smaller children and they're going to have to deal with this. Rich, your son Bryce, a little bit older. But it's certainly when you guys came up, it seems like a different dynamic.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having us on. I think it's such a tough situation right now because of that aspect of pay for play. And everybody is, looking for that edge or for that kind of ability to improve their son's playing skills. But I just don't know if it, the pay for play, and I'm doing it right now with our son. I mean, he's doing AAU baseball and he's enjoying it. I think we're fortunate to be, in a good facility with great coaching. But one thing that I do know is that, the coaching only goes so far. So you start running out of, good coaches inside a facility when you get to a certain level because of, just sheer numbers. There just aren't that many good coaches out there to be able to give the advice that kids at 10, 11, and 12 need. And being able to view that and understanding what parents are paying to, for the beneficial aspect of their son or daughter in softball to get ahead or gain skills is substantial at this point. I mean, you're talking about $4,000 or $5,000 for a season to go out and play, X amount of games. And that's another issue too, is the amount of games that kids are playing. I think last year our son played, you know, twice as many games, you know, double the amount of volume in 1 year that I did at in 2 years at 10 and 11. So you can just see the compounding effects that will have on, you know, a young kid's body down the road at 14, 15 and 16 years old. So now we're seeing like, okay, well, why is there a UCL injury? How come his shoulder is bothering him? What happened to, you know, her ACL? Or why is her hip bothering her? And it's like, well, you played, you know, 160 games in a 2 year span at 10 and 11, which is, in my opinion, is insane. But, and I'm saying that, and we played 60 games last year, just around that between town baseball and with, AAU baseball. But there's just so much that goes into it that I can't wrap my head around as far as the cost, versus, you know, where, you know, and to your point, Rob, it's like, we're getting in our own way as far as seeing the professionalization of youth sports happening, where it should be, you know, yes, you want the kids to have fun, but we need to build a foundation first. And, you know, how can that be done without, you know, putting this cost on the parents, especially in the times that we're in right now with a lot of things that are, you know, going in a different direction in the country. But yeah, that's just how I view it. I think that, you know, the coaching versus what you pay for, and then also the understanding as a parent of where you're at and where your kid is at their age group, and knowing that, okay, we want to be able to get the reps and the foundation in at 10, 11, and 12, but you haven't even touched the big diamond yet. So that is where the growth happens when the kids start to, you know, develop and start to mature and put on muscle, and they can maintain their mechanics. I think that's the most important part of this kind of segment, is just understanding where their son or daughter is at, where they can maintain their mechanics. Because if Kevin goes and takes, you know, 50 swings in the cage, they're going to be 50 quality swings. If I go and throw, you know, 50 pitches in the bullpen, they're going to be 50 quality pitches. But if I do that at 11 years old, I'm probably going to throw 5 quality pitches, but yet that bullpen is going to be 50 pitches. So just the understanding and the knowledge and the level of, you know, where some of the coaches, you know, are at, knowing the kid's body is so valuable. And then also for the parents to know that, you know, because we're putting so much volume on kids that are 10, 11, and 12, that you're not going to see the effects until they're 14, 15, and 16. That's what I believe. I know it was a long-winded answer.
No, but, well, Kevin, aren't you looking forward to your kids growing up? And so what do you got with that, Kevin?
I'm confused now. I can't wait for these decisions I got to make. But no, I think the stuff that Rich brought up is all accurate. You know, I honestly can't remember back when I was 10, 11, and 12. I know I was on travel teams and all this and that. I have no idea the cost of it. I don't know if it's relative to what it is today in that sense. But I think at the same time, too, you get dads or parents caught up in, you know, maybe wanting their son to, you know, I will say the political side of it, you know, in sports, just wanting it for their son more than their daughter more than their kid wants it. And I think that kind of can get in the way as well. So I think it's also understanding kind of what's best and what's best fit for your son. And if, you know, your son or daughter really, you know, wants to do, you know, all these games and this and that, and they're truly into it, you know, that also, you know, would I think be a big factor as well. You know, I think a lot of the way things have changed now is social media and stuff. You have so many coaches, so many, you know, people that want to have their own brand or their own gadget or their own hitting contraption, throwing contraption, or there's no right way to, you know, prepare, you know, for at a young age. You know, I think at that, you know, at least what I remember is, you know, I had the same, you know, kind of coaches kind of coming up. I went to the same hitting facility. We're at the same, you know, guys that were teaching pitching and hitting and all that. Now you've got different coaches that think you should be lifting at a certain age. You got to go see this specific hitting coach at this time and this specific pitching coach. And I think it's just gotten so many, you know, people want their hands in on, you know, and want their imprint on your career. You know, I think that's gotten to that point, you know, it's, just from the outside looking in without having a kid necessarily in it, but just from what I've seen on social media, just seeing all these, you know, different influencers, and I'm not saying they're doing a bad thing. It's just knowing, you know, kind of what works best for you, for your son or daughter, and making that decision, you know, with your family. You know, I think that's how you know, the game's going to grow, and you know, injury wise, you have to really channel the volume of what's going on. You know, even at what we do now in the big leagues, you know, you have days of rest, you have days that are going to be heavier than others. It's not always, you know, 100% every day. And I feel like, you know, when you're younger, these kids just feel like they got to go out there and blow it out, trying to impress these coaches or whatever it is. You know, and that's all good. You know, that's all great. You want to have that, but you also got to be smart and have to have the right, you know, kind of people around you, whether it's your parents or the coaches that you trust to, you know, kind of guide you in that direction. You know, to, you can't perform if you're not on the field. So you got to be able to take care of your body and trust yourself and trust those around you that, you know, they're going to have your best interest in mind, and, you know, not try and just go 110% all day, every day. You know, so that's kind of my take on it all.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I was going to say, what Kevin brought up was a great point, is that, you know, we're at a certain level where, you know, it's win at all costs. We're at the major league level. I think for parents to understand that, hey, look, at 10 and 11 and 12, it really doesn't matter if you win, and even 13, 14, 15, you know, and I understand college. I get it. I played college baseball. I know the importance of playing at that level and how winning is very important. However, if you're playing for a plastic trophy or, you know, the town championship or, you know, even the state championship or whatever, it's not worth the risk of injury. I'm sorry, I will say that, and I will say that forever. It is not worth the risk of injury, understanding the volume. And, you know, I was watching one of our son's games last year, and I watched a kid throw 60 pitches in an inning during that game. And, you know, it was a kid on the other team, but I was just like, what's going on here? We have no, there are no standards. There is no accountability. It's just go ahead. We don't care how many pitches. And maybe it's not that we don't care. It's just the lack of knowledge. And I think the educational part of getting coaches on board and some kind of, you know, standards that need to be put in place will prevent some of these injuries that are occurring. Because now we're seeing kids that are playing on two or three teams during the summer, and they go from they're probably the best player on, you know, their teams, and they go from one team, they pitch, they go to the next team, they don't say anything, they pitch that day, or the next day. And it's just the compiling amount of volume that ends up creating more of these issues that we're seeing across the country. This isn't just, you know, we didn't bring up this topic because it's not an epidemic, it's an epidemic. And I think that, you know, even orthopedic surgeons across the country are seeing it, and they're saying like, hey, something needs to be done.
So, Kevin, how old are your kids right now?
My oldest is 4, and I got a 4-and-year-and-a-half-year-old. So
okay.
I got a few more years, thank God.
Okay. So, and Bryce is 11, is that right?
Rich? 11. Okay. That's right. He's 11.
So, I've always been interested in, and we want kids to love baseball, right? So right. From your guys' perspective, you're around it all the time. I see Bryce, you know, how much he loves being in there. It's taken root with him. But Kevin, like when you look at your kid future, it's like, yeah, sure. You know, you love baseball, you play baseball, that's your profession. And how do you approach that with your kids? For instance, I cover baseball. My kids were never really into it. Because when I get home, I didn't want to talk about it. Like I just didn't want to talk about it. And I'm glad, you know, it's cool. They found other interests. So, yeah. You know, I guess Kevin, like, I would ask you, like, as young kids, have you ever thought about that? About like, hey, you know, I'm a baseball player, but I don't want my kids to feel like they have to be defined by baseball.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think that, you know, obviously my kids know. Like my oldest now, Kason, is understanding what I do, you know, but it's not all that. I mean, we got him in soccer right now here at home. You know, my wife was a soccer player in college. So, I mean, we're always throwing the football in the backyard. It's not like I'm always just in the backyard saying, hey, let's go hit, let's go throw, it's baseball or nothing. You know, I didn't grow up that way. I played multiple sports growing up, and I want him to, you know, obviously if he wants to you know, do anything in sports. You know, I want him to be able to choose and you know, whatever one he's best at, I'll be there to help him with whatever sport that is. But I definitely don't want him defined or feeling like he's got to play baseball just because dad plays baseball by any means. So we try and mix up the sports around the house, and, you know, he kind of gets fired up when he'll see a highlight. He'll go through my pictures on the phone and see a highlight of a home run or something like that. Not that I've had too many, but, you know, he gets all fired up, and he's like, that's awesome, Dad, you know. So it's cool to see him do that stuff, but, you know, at the end of the day, I just want him to love what he's doing and know that, I'll love him, support him with whatever he decides to do, whether it's athletically or not, you know. So, but thank God, you know, I mean, he does love sports, and he loves just about every sport. So, you know, we're outside, you know, probably 90% of the day, if not more. So that part's really fun. It's fun to see him, you know, kind of pick up these different interests for sure.
Yeah, and obviously, Rich, I mean, Bryce, you know, obviously loves it, and he's get to the point where when the kid comes in wearing his uniform all the time, you know, he loves it, right? This is,
yeah.
But this is, and that's great. I mean, that's great. But I remember talking to Bo Bichette, whose dad obviously played, Dante.
Yeah, yeah.
Bo quit. I mean, Bo quit baseball, and he quit baseball. He started playing tennis, and then he came back to baseball. But it's. You know, this is a very real, and I think that my perspective is that you guys have maybe a better approach to it, because you're saying, hey, sure, you know, whatever, if you want. Whereas you see, and you guys probably see it, a lot of fathers and mothers and parents say, come on, you got to be a big leaguer. You got to be a big leaguer. You got to like it. Yeah. Those are the kids that get burned out, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I, you know, you hear the stories over and over again. And just like Kevin was saying, you know, in Bryce's case, he's the one who's pursuing baseball constantly for us. He's always asking to hit more, or, you know, and we're pulling him back a little bit and saying, no, it's basketball season, or, you know, hey, we're going to go and hit some golf balls, or we're going to go to the driving range or whatever it is. Just like Kevin was saying, it's like kick the soccer ball around, go across the street, find other interests that are feasible at this age, because, you know, with the inability to be able to maintain mechanics over an extended period of time, you are going to, somewhere along that journey, you are going to increase the risk of injury. And it's going to happen at a young age because of the volume and, you know, the inability to hold those mechanics. But, you know, that's not to take away this isn't to, you know, deter people from what I'm saying is to deter people from baseball. I'm saying deter you from the volume of the sport at a young age. And I also believe that, you know, if you can build a solid foundation and you can build a quality work ethic, you know, also with the idea of understanding what it is to compete and compete correctly, you know, now you're starting to work in a really good, you know, the perimeters that are going to make, you know, possibly you're giving yourself a better chance at having a successful career and a prolonged career into, yes, possibly playing professional baseball. But, you know, if we start thinking about looking at our kids and we're like, hey, you know, he's going to be in the big leagues and he's 10, 11 and 12, 13, 14, 15. You're still talking about less than half of the percent of players that get to the major leagues. So just keep the perspective and focus in on the moment, right? You're focusing in on that moment with the kid. Understand that they love what they're doing on that day, and you love the process. You fall in love with the process. You don't fall in love with the, you know, with you know, the end result. That's what I would say. And I think that, you know, again, the other side is just like not, I mean, put giving them all the resources that they can and pursuing something that kids love. That's you know, also extremely valuable. But yeah, again, like I said, with volume in mind.
No, it's a good advice. And now I'm going to do an expert segue to the here and the now, where, you know, when you're a kid and you love baseball, you want to run out. And as you said, you want to hit in the cage and you want to practice. So now you guys are in this world of you're waiting to find out, you know, what team you're going to play for, the off season, the business of baseball, and why you have to sort of like still run out into the cage and hit the ball or throw the ball. I'll start with Kevin. Kevin, what's that? Is that hard? Think back to when you were younger. when you love to go out and work on your game and everything else, and you didn't have to deal with this sort of waiting around for the phone call about where you're going to play or what teams are going to be interested in you? Is it a different mindset? Is it unnerving? Is it harder to go out and work out because you have that in the back of your mind?
I mean, honestly, it's weird how relaxed I am right now with everything going on. I think I'm just so at peace with knowing that whatever opportunities are going to present themselves will present themselves, and me sitting here stressing about that or wondering when or where or having a certain number or something like that, I feel like it's just so out of my control. And I think over the years, I've just realized that, just to kind of program myself that way. And honestly, I'm just trying to enjoy it because I feel like that would just take away my time with my kids and my wife and all that. So my wife asked me the same thing the other day. She asked if I was nervous or felt a certain way. And I honest to God, I haven't really thought much about it, as weird as it is, until, there's a phone call or something like that to kind of mull over. I've just been kind of enjoying my time, started working out, and just enjoying this downtime before we know things will get hectic at some point. So, I'm really not super stressed out about it. Maybe it's weird of me to be so, calm, cool, and collected, I guess you could say. But, me and Richie always joke we're a package deal. So, we'll see where
right,
we end
baby.
Up.
Rich.
Well, like you said, I mean, it's a package deal. We were talking before the podcast, like who has signed more autographs as the other person?
I've gotten mistaken more for Rich, I bet, than Rich has gotten mistaken more for me. But it's happened numerous times. Everybody thinks I'm Rich. Nope, you got me by 13 years. So here we go.
Well, listen, I mean, Ryan Brazier and Stephen Voigt had the same problem, right? So those two guys, if you ever match them up. But it's, Rich, can you relate to that? I mean, that was, first of all, it's a great perspective, Kevin.
Yeah.
Rich, and probably takes some time to get there, to be able to be that way.
Oh, I mean, that's an incredible perspective to have. That's why, having friends like Kevin is the reason, I can pick up the phone and get calmed down a little bit, I think. But not to, I think it, you get to a certain point in your career and in your life, you're like, all right, I just have to let go and I can't. It's out of my hands and you can control your controllables and understand it's just, like we've talked about before, and focusing in on the moment and the day and the process of the off season. And okay, I'm taking care of what I need to take care of to be ready for the season. So that's, you do what you can do, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen. It's really out of our hands.
Do you stay more motivated? Do you stay more motivated as if it drags on? Do you stay more motivated, or does it become like, oh man, I don't want to get up this morning. I don't want to throw because I got all this other stuff in my head.
Well, I mean, from my point is, I've had when I used to have to wait around for telegrams to come in to find out if what teams were interested. Now with the cell phone, it's a lot easier. And then you don't have to call like a central line to say, patch me through. So, I think, there, of course there are days like that. I'd be lying if I said that there weren't, because everybody has those. It's just, those are the days that really define what your character is and what you want to do as a player. And I think that goes for every age group across the board, because it's you're going to have, yes, there is a big chunk of periods that you're going to run through where everything's going smoothly and everything's great, and you're healthy and you don't have any issues pop up or anything like that. But there's also going to be chunks along the way where it's like, you have roadblocks, you're going to run into a wall, you're fatigued, you're injured, you have to fight through something. And those are just there to see how bad you want to continue to keep going. And I think that that's another healthy perspective to have, because there are times where you wake up and you're like, crap, I don't want to, whatever. I just mentioned all the things that could be in the way, or nobody's called, or there's very little interest, or now there's what do you do in the opposite of that when you have like four or five teams that are interested and you have to make a decision? That's also just like you have all these other kind of mindset instances that could jump in to impede your ability to compete. How do you deal, you know, with nobody calling versus, you know, like I said, a bunch of teams calling? So being as consistent as possible and understanding that, you know, you have work to do, you have a job, and it's really just the fabric of who you are in anything that you're going to do will not compensate how you go about your daily business.
You guys have the same agent. Who calls your agent more? Like, that's another part of it, right?
Rich for sure.
yeah. I like to, I give him, Rich. Probably give him little heart attacks every day. I'm just calling, checking in.
Well, I mean, listen, everyone, it's hard. I would imagine it's hard to like say, hey, you know, I need an update. I need an update. And you go, this is the off season is short, but it's long. It's like, it can be long.
You know? Well, just like we're doing right here. Go ahead.
If they've got something important enough to share with us, I would hope to God they would call us. So I assume that, like, hey, you know, I'll check in every once in a while. If I just get like an inkling of like, hey, anything, you know, just like give me, you know, a spur, like a little butterfly in my stomach, if you will, you know, and it's like, ah, nothing. And it's like, ah, you're just pointed. We're like, hey, talk to someone the other day. Like, oh shoot. You know, they start looking at air, you know, rentals and so-and-so state. And you're like, oh, this could work, you know? And it's like, it's just funny how your mind can wander sometimes, but I try not to let it get there. But
I'm putting it all into your head now. I'm making you think a completely different thing. But well, the good news, Kevin, is that you have all that money coming in from the copyrighted Dancing on Our Own song that has been blatantly stolen from you. Give me, if you want, give me sort of like when you're watching that unfold in another team, because you're like, you're the godfather of that song. That was your thing.
It was.
Go ahead.
It was weird. It was just weird. And I talked to Kyle a lot, you know, as it kind of started coming about when their first celebration with that song, I texted Kyle and I was like, buddy, what the hell's going on here? You know, like we just were doing this a year ago, and he tell you, I feel bad. I played it for the guys early on in the year. They obviously loved it, and it's kind of stuck in the playlist. You know, and I mean, I can't get mad about it. The song is very good, and obviously
catchy. It's a banger. It's a great song.
More frustrated. It's a great song. I think I was more frustrated that it wasn't like it was 3 years ago that we did it with the Sox. It was like literally just the year before, and nobody seemed to pick up on that. That was more frustrating. Like, hey, literally just last year at the same exact time, we were doing the same exact thing, and nobody seemed to pick up on that. So I think that was the most kind of like, is nobody paying attention? Like, here, like oh, there's Philly, the Phillies' same song of the year. I'm like, literally, we did the same thing last year, doing like the same celebration with popping bottles and everything. But, like, it's just kind of, I'm like, is this going over everybody's head, or is it just me and the guys that were there, or anybody that, you know, call up last year just seemed to have been like, oh yeah, this is great. I'm like, all right, well, I got the underlying story if anybody wants to know. So I guess my joke with everybody was like, you know, I got Philly in my hands too, and nobody really knows about it, but it was funny. It was funny to hear that song being blasted throughout the stadium. And I had Vasquez texted me after, you know, one of the games they won there. It's like, Claude, they're playing your song throughout the whole stadium. I'm like, I know, bro. I know, you know, it's funny. I had more people texting me after, you know, Philly's win, you know, than I ever before, you know, just saying like, what the heck's going on? And I'm like, I don't have an answer for you, you know? So I'm just kind of writing it out just like everybody else.
You know what would have been great? If Vasquez got the boombox out and did the judge thing, walking by the locker room, playing it.
So. No.
No, it's all good. I see. It's hard for me to get too upset because Schwarber's my guy too. I love him to death. So
did he really feel bad? Did he feel bad about it?
He felt bad. I think there was a genuine, like, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of out of his hands. Like it was kind of started, and you know, I don't know. I love Kyle way too much to get too upset about it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
In the words of Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, the music just owned me. So there you go.
Yeah.
well, hey guys, listen, I'm sincerely mean this, is that one of the reasons we do this is I think that a lot of parents and coaches and kids, you know, this is sort of what we want to get across, is that your guys' perspective. And I appreciate you taking the time to do it. I really do.
I got one final thing I just want to say for the parents and everything. Just, you know, you always hear like, oh, you get time. And I'm a believer of that at a younger age. And as you get into, you know, the end of your college career and going into pro ball, and or your end of your high school career as you're going into pro ball, you know, that the urgency at that point is much more relevant than it is at 10, 11 and 12. So I just want to point that out at the end, that, you know, hey, take a deep breath. Kids are going to be all right. You know, there's no rush to get them into, you know, this professionalization of youth sports so early.
Yeah, easier said than done. It's forget about 11, 12. I mean, it's 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. So, but hey, guys, I hope you have your heart rate stays low and everything's good this off season. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.